about the question, what if? And so I'm going to start with this story, which is off, kind of a spin-off of the story that we all know of the travel of Mary and Joseph. And so I want you to picture you in this story as I share it with you guys. And so this is coming from a relative of Joseph. And so it goes like this. It says, they were filthy, both of them. The donkey too, they stank. The woman was drenched in sweat, so there was that for a start. Plus, they couldn't have chosen a worse time to turn up. The house was already teeming with Roman soldiers for the census. And I was out of ideas to keep the kids entertained quietly. Trust me, you don't want to annoy a Roman soldier. I knew they'd be in trouble even before he opened his mouth. They were distant relatives from the Bethlehem clan, allegedly. To me, he was just a stranger. Behind me, I could hear the soldiers taking yet another bottle of wine out of the cellar. It would be a raucous night. I didn't have time for this. But I would have taken them in despite their stench. That's not why I turned them away. And I'll admit, the fact that his wife was possibly in labor gave me a pause. I'm a mother too, but I shut the door. I kept it shut, holding my body against the door as he was pounding on it from the other side. It wasn't easy to hear, please, please. And the woman's moans as the knocks continued, then faded, then eventually stopped. That was a little hard for me, but it was the right thing to do. Now, before you judge me, I'm the most hospitable woman on the east side of Bethlehem. Ask anyone. We'll all gather at my table for Passover because I have the best food. I feed people. I help the poor. I'm as devout as they come. It would have been impossible to fit them in. Yet I would have done the impossible because I'm a faithful believer, proud of my heritage as one of God's chosen people. I'm not a bad person. I shut the door precisely because of my faithfulness to God. At that moment, he mentioned Galilee. A memory stirred, the rushed wedding, the jobbing carpenter, while the Jerusalem cousin had been gushing about miracles and Messiah's Aunt Naomi had filled me in on the whole scandal. Some people are so gullible. Well, I'm not, and neither is Aunt Naomi. Rachel, she said to me, taking another of my delicious homemade fig cakes, Rachel, some people will tell themselves anything to cover up their sin. Some people will tell themselves anything to cover up their sins. I nodded. These people weren't like us. I could see that now. They were greedy, careless, immoral, God-forsaken people. And here they were standing at my door asking for favors. She should have been grateful to have been alive at all, not stoned to death, as the good law says. I would not stain myself by inviting sin under my roof. What about my children, after all? What message would that send? Sometimes tough love is the only way. If only they had found a place of shelter a little farther away. I don't know for sure where they ended up, but I could hear her moans through the window while I tried to sleep. They were not in a house, I knew that much. I had flashbacks to my six labors, only three of which ended in a live baby. Once I had nearly died. No, I told myself, disgrace is contagious. What would my friends say if they knew I'd been associating with these sinners? Reputations can be stained and changed in an instant. And I had to have my family to think of as well. I snuggled close to my spouse who was snoring, and I tried to warm my feet. Maybe that would bring sleep. A slow doubt crept across my heart. What if their story were true? What if these suspicious-looking, beraggled, flea-bitten pair were actually chosen by God? It seemed unlikely, but I ought to give it a thought. I knew in theory that the heroes of the Torah were a mixed bunch, but these people didn't have any halo of blessing about them. They were just poor. Their desperation reeked. Desperate people, they lie. You don't want to be deceived by their sob story. You don't want to be manipulated by their situation. I turned over in bed, trying to get comfortable. Again, a cry of anguish javelin through my window. Her pain seemed to be increasing. I wondered if the birth was going wrong. The thought came to me, I could help them. They would be easy to find. I could offer them some hot water or towels or my skills. I dare say Cousin Joseph hadn't witnessed many births. I almost left my bed, but my feet were warming up. It was a rare moment of peace in the house. The soldiers had finally gone to bed, and I had no desire to wake them. Did I mention you didn't want a boy, Roman soldier? I managed to get comfortable, and I imagined them out there. I pictured the baby, cold, naked, and afraid. I was snug and warm and didn't want to move. Someone else should help them. A Gentile, perhaps, I thought as I drifted off to sleep. The next morning, I awoke with this inexplicable ache. I went about my usual morning routine. The Romans were especially appreciative of my breakfast that day, but I still felt empty in a way I hadn't before. Eventually, I listened to the whisper in my soul. What if God comes into our midst in disguise? What if God was in the stench of desperate people? This would mean I'd turn my back on God because I didn't want to make myself uncomfortable. It was a horrible thought. I pulled myself together. This was not rational. I had done the right thing. I always do the right thing. And so tonight, the question of what if, just like I mentioned before with my family and cancer, and that question, what if? That question of what if is the first question of doubt. It's the first question that removes hope from the situation. It sucks the life out of you. You sit there and you entertain that thought, well, what if this happened? Well, what if that could happen? Well, what if this could go wrong? And immediately you take hope and peace and stability out of your life because of that question, what if? So bring that into our generation. And our generation is broken, hurting, and afraid. And it's because of that question, well, what if? The younger generation are going and trying to find their identity. Well, what if this could be this? What if this could be my identity? What if these people could help me? What if I could find love in this person? So tonight, we're going to be looking at the reason behind the why, and it's the what if. And I want to share with you this, and it's, what if? What if we lived from the heart? Do you think that would really set us apart? What if we lived our faith out? Would the gospel reach to those out and about? What if the Bible were true? What would that really do? Well, what if? What if we lived for others instead of ourselves? Would we then take our Bibles off our shelves? What if we were excited to go to church on Sunday? Would our lives still be in disarray? What if stories of the Bible were true? Would the Bible then become anew? What if God could change the course of this generation? Would that set in motion a new direction? What if? And we can ask all these questions, but it really matters what is in our hearts. And if we look around the church, we can see people who are hurting, who are broken, who are weak. But are our eyes really open to those people? Do we really take the time to look around and see those people? Or are we too focused on, well, I need this. I need more of God. I need God to come into my situation. So maybe let's go out of church. Let's go to our work. Do we see hurting people there? Do we see people that need more of Jesus? Do we see people who are broken, whose families are a mess? Or maybe we just see people that make us upset, that make us fulfill to deadlines. Or maybe we see just bosses and coworkers, but we don't take the time. Or maybe let's get a little bit more personal. What about at home? Do we take the time to look at our family members and say, what is really going on in their life? Are they broken? Are they hurting? Or maybe we just say, you know what? Those young kids, they're just really annoying. And they always are nagging. And I don't have time for this because I have to get ready. But really, all they want is our attention, approval, and love. And we can look around, but do we take the time to talk to them? Do we take the time, maybe out of our schedule, that we have time for this or that and the other, that is me time? And maybe we need to look out and say, okay, who is hurting around me? What can I do to help them? But why don't we take that time to go out and talk to them? Why do we not say, you know what? I'm going to talk to that person over there. Is it the question of, well, you know what? Maybe I'm busy, or maybe it's the question of what if? Well, what if I'm not good enough? Or what if I don't have the right words to say to them? What if I have nothing to say during the prayer that God is asking me to say to them? So think about, what do you see when you go to work? Or maybe what do you see on the way to work? Maybe you pass by the same person who's sitting at the curb every morning. And God's tugging your heart, saying, you know what, maybe you should stop today. But you're like, no, I got to get to work. I'm already running late. What if you're at the store and God's tugging your heart, say, you know what, go to that person. But then that question of, well, what if pops in your mind? What do you think that living as a Christian looks like? Is it just remaining in your comfort bubble? Or is it to get uncomfortable and do the things like Jesus did? Maybe it's not having everything you want to have, but doing everything that God is asking you to do. That when you feel that nudge of your heart to saying, you know what? Okay, God, I know I'm here, or maybe I'm super busy, but saying, you know what? I'll take the time, God. I feel you're nudging. Have you ever lost hope during your life? Maybe it was during a situation in your life, or maybe your family, or maybe at work, and it was a storm that you were involved in, and you're standing there and you're like, oh, where are you, God? And you're crying out and you're desperate and you don't hear any reply. And you start to think, you know what? I can't help anyone else because I'm too broken. I can't help anyone else because this is going on in my life. Who am I to help them when I am falling into the same traps? And you get discouraged because of your situations. And you sit there and you say, man, I can't do anything. Because you know what? I am hopeless. And I want to ask the question, well, what if? What if? We always think of this question as, you know, When I think of what if, I think of when kids, who here are our parents or involved with kids, and they get to a certain age where they're like, well, why? And then you explain, and they're like, well, why? And you're like, because, why? Because, why? Because I said so. Well, why? And it's because they're trying to wrap their head around why they're doing what they're doing. And I'm thinking, when I was preparing for this, I was thinking the same thing with what if. We always think of what if as doubt or second guessing. But I want to turn the tables on that. And instead of thinking it that way, I want you to think about, well, what if in a positive light? And so I want to share with you this verse in Isaiah 40, verses 28 through 31. And it's in the NLT version, and it says this: have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. No one can. He gives power to the weak. Who here is weak this morning and needs power? God can give that to you. He gives strength to the powerless. Even youths become weak and tired. Young men will fall in exhaustion, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be. The cool thing is in this verse, one, it has my favorite animal. It's an eagle, the bald eagle. And the cool thing with eagles, and I mentioned this to our youth, is when a storm's starting to come, this is one of the coolest facts about eagles, is they're giant birds in general, but what they do during a storm is they start flapping their wings, and they start going, and then they just let the wind push them above the clouds, above the storm, and they just soar. As the storm is raging below them, they're just soaring above it. And so I was picturing that in this verse. And it says, the Lord is the everlasting God. He created everything. Putting that into context, everything around us, God created. No one can measure his understanding. No one. What does he do? He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. And when we become weak and tired, what does God do? He will renew our strength. What happens when life gets tough? He will make us soar on wings like eagles above all the storm. So then we will be able to walk and run and not grow tired or weary. So I want to ask you the question, well, what if that were really true? What if this was true? Revelation 22:13 says this: I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Well, what if? What if God was really the Alpha and the Omega? What if he was the first and the last, the beginning and the end? What would that mean? What would that look like for your life? What if? And so we have a video that I want you to watch, but I just want you to think about that question. Well, what if? What if that were really true? What would that look like for your life? What would that do for your life if that was really true? So think about that question as you watch this.
They say you are an all-consuming fire. the Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end, good and forgiving and living in your love that stretches from everlasting to everlasting. They say you give strength to the weary, increase the power of the weak, and bring the dead to life. You father to the fatherless, home for the homeless. You King of kings and Lord of lords, who created the cosmos without losing count of the hairs on my head. They say you are God. And when I think about you, God, I ask, what if all the things they say are true, God? What if the songs we sing are more than a metaphor? What if Bible verses are more than a cute Twitter bio? What if when we pray, we're not just talking to ourselves? What if it's all more real than our current definition of reality can contain? What if it's all true? What if you're gracious? What if you're good? What if you're not meant to be understood? What if you give peace? What if you have mercy? What if you're a well drawing life for the thirsty, humble and fair? What if you care? What if you're here and we're unaware? What if you're holy? What if you know me? What if it's true? Jesus Christ was your only son. What if he's the one given for all to break down the wall? What if your call is for me to be free and to see a new reality? What if you're the key? What if you're the way? Ancient of days, El Shaddai, Adonai. What if you are I am? What if you are? What if you could change me? Let your love rearrange me from the sin that estranged me to a Savior who claimed me. And even though I can't see you, what if I need you? And I know you will just be you while I sit here and ask, what if?
So I want to read that verse one more time in Isaiah. It says, have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youth will become weak and tired. Young men will fall in exhaustion, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Because God is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. So the question tonight is, what if? What if God is true? What if the stories in the Bible are true? What if Jesus was really raised from the dead? What if the scriptures are meant for us today? What if? What would that do for you? What would that change in your life? We lose hope because we lose sight of the truth. We get caught up in doubting what is true and what is not. We let society tell us what to believe in and what not to believe in. So what if? How would our lives change if we started to say, well, what if? Our lives should reflect God. They should reflect what He's doing in our life. They should reflect truth. Are they? Are they reflecting that? Is your life really reflecting that God is true? Is your life really reflecting that the Bible is true, that is alive today? Is your walk with Christ reflecting that you truly believe that God is for everyone and God is here on earth? Or maybe we've gotten into this rut to think that, oh, you know what? Someone else will speak to that person. Someone else will pray for that person. But God's intending that person to be you. What would happen if the next time you thought, what if I prayed for that person? What would that do for their life? Or maybe the next time you say, well, what if I stopped on my way to work and talked to that homeless person? Or bought that homeless person a meal? Or maybe it's at work. What if I took the time to talk with them? That I knew what was going on at home. What if? What would that really do? Because I guarantee you, it would change their life. What if we lived our faith out? What would that look like? What if we did that in our home life, with our family? What would that do? What if we incorporated truth into our parenting styles? Well, what if? Or what if we understood that the Bible was true and alive today? What would that change in your prayer life? Or what if we spent more time in God's presence than we did watching TV, sports, news, you name it? What would that do? What would that do? We need to get out of this rut of thinking, well, someone else would do that. Someone else can pray for that person. Because you know what? I've got that question in the back of my mind that says, well, what if you fall short? Or what if you can't do it? Or what if you choke in your prayer? What if you mess up? And we need to start thinking and realizing that God doesn't use the people that already know what to do. He doesn't want to just use people that are already qualified. He doesn't want them to be like, oh yeah, you know what? I can do it myself. What does God do? He qualifies the called. He equips the people who are already broken, because then they know that it's not them, but it's God working through them. So, is that you tonight? Are you sitting there and saying, you know what? I don't think God can use me because of this, or because of my past, or I'm not really a person that is a people person, so God can't use me because I can't talk to people very well. Look at Moses, who brought literally an entire nation out of Egypt. He had a hard time speaking in front of people, and God still used him, because God brought us and brings us into situations for a reason. And our minds always go to the question, well, what now, God? What do you want me to do now? And we need to start realizing that it's us that need to be ready. Because everywhere we go, there's something we can do. There's someone we can pray for, or there's someone we can talk to, or there's someone that we can extend the hand of God to. Or maybe it's not even talking to someone, and it's where you go, you take the light with you. and you bring God's presence into the darkness. And we can't always get caught up in thinking, well, I can't do that. But we need to start thinking that God is wanting to use us. So are we ready? So think about this. I'm going to say it one more time. What if? What if we lived from the heart? Do you think that would set us apart? What if we lived our faith out? Would the gospel reach to those out and about? What if the Bible were true? What would that really do? What if we lived for others instead of ourselves? Would we then take our Bibles off the shelves? What if we are excited to go to church on Sunday? Would our lives still be in disarray? What if the stories in the Bible were true? Would our Bibles then become anew? What if God changed the course for this generation? Would that then set in motion a new direction? What if? I want everyone to close their eyes right now. And I want to ask you guys these three questions. And I want you to let God challenge you. And maybe God is asking to rearrange your life tonight. And so if I, as I ask you this question and it applies to you, I want you guys to just raise your hand and then let God work in you and in your heart. So question number one is this. If you were asking yourself, well, what if God is true? Is he really here as Emmanuel, God with us? I don't really truly know God as my Savior, and this was a wake-up call. That is you right now. I want you to raise your hand. No one's looking. And you would just need to know that God is really true in your life. That maybe doubts crept in, and you don't fully 100% believe that God is true. If that is you tonight, I want to pray with you. And as I move on to the next question, it's number two. Does your life reflect how you see it when you ask yourself, what if the Bible's actually true? Does your everyday life reflect that? Does your prayer life reflect that? Or maybe your family life or the decisions you make? Or even your thoughts. And if your life doesn't reflect what you're thinking, or it doesn't quite line up between the two, if that is you tonight, and you just need to say, you know what, God, I need to rearrange my life with you because my life doesn't quite reflect what you're wanting it to reflect. If that is you, I want you to raise your hands. See that. Is there anybody else that you're sitting here and you're like, you know what? I need God to rearrange me, to reflect the truth and not let the world come in. Is that you? And the final question tonight should encompass the rest of us. And it's at the beginning of the video that was shared. It talked about authentic love. And if you need to have God rearrange your life tonight to have that authentic love, to live your life with God's love, a life that sees people with eyes like God, eyes that see with love and not judgment, a life that is slow to anger and quick to love, a life that comes alongside people who hurt you and make you mad to bring them closer to Christ, a life that has authenticity. If that is you, then I ask right now to raise your hand. If you need a life that needs God's love, see those hands. I see those hands. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray for each of those questions. And if that is you, then I ask you, whichever question it was, to just pray with God and talk with God right now and ask Him to come into your life. But for question number one, I pray, Lord, that everyone in here would realize that You are Emmanuel, that You are God with us. And that means You are God with us at work, You are God with us at home, and You are God when no one is looking. You are still there, God. And so I just pray that everyone in this room would understand that You are with us and You will never forsake us, God. Even when life gets tough and we can't feel You there, You are still there with us, God. And so I just pray that over all of us in this room. And Lord, if it was question number two, talking about if our life doesn't really reflect the truth, and if that is anyone in this room, God, I pray that You would show up in their life. That what's the number one way to stay connected or to understand that You are with us always when life gets tough, and it's to have an experience with You, God. That's something that no matter what happens in life will never change. And so I pray, Lord, that each and every one of us in this room would have an experience with You this week. Lord, that they'd have something that would be a miracle in their life. Something that they would only know is true by Your hand. So then when they're sitting there and, you know what, having those thoughts, they're like, well, God did this, and He can do that in me. Lord, have my entire life. Lord, help me reflect my life for You to everyone else around us. Lord, help me reflect the way I act at church to be the way I act at home, and the way I act at home and church is the same way I act at work. So then everyone knows who stands behind me, in front of me, and beside me. And Lord, I pray for the people in question number three that needs to live with authentic love. Lord, that I pray that whoever that is, that it is so easy to live by our flesh. So easy to say, you know what? I'm going to be mad at that person. And because I'm mad at them, then I won't be able to speak life into them because they know that I'm mad at them. And so, Lord, I pray that our life would reflect Your truth and Your love, God. That no matter what happens, Lord, that You would give us the peace and the patience to live and say, you know what? Even though they did that, I'm going to forgive them because You've forgiven me. And I'm going to use this situation or event to speak life into them. To say, just as some of the prayer requests earlier, even though that there was pain from other people's decisions, Lord, that we would be able to stand firm and say, you know what? I'm going to let God help me be the bigger person so then I can be that light for them. So that when they see me and see how I react to how they treated me, that they'd be like, how did they do that? Why did they do that? They had every right to be mad at me because of what I did. And they'd come to us and say, well, how and why? I don't understand. And all we have to say is, it's not me. It's God. God did this for me. If it was me, I would have done this. But because God got a hold of my life, I was able to do this. And He can do the same thing for your life. So Lord, tonight and this week, help us. Help us have that authentic love, a love that transcends all understanding. Because God, You are the creator of the heavens and the earth. Lord, You are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Everything starts with You and ends with You, God. So Lord, I ask that tonight would be a night that our lives would be changed forever. Lord, that we would ask that question, what if? And have our perspective be changed. Instead of thinking, well, what if in a doubtful way, we think, well, what if the truth was real? What if the truth was here with me? What if I could do this with you, God? And think of it in a positive light and say, you know what? I'm going to use this to help me do the works that you have asked me to do, God. So tonight, as we lay our heads down, I pray, Lord, that you would challenge our hearts. You would help us rearrange our life to reflect your truth. And Lord, that our lives would reflect who you are, what you are doing in our lives. And that everyone that sees us would know that you are the great I am. And that we are just here to glorify you, to be that beacon for others to see. So help us to truly, truly believe and know that you are real, and that when we pray, we have power. And the Bible is true, and all the stories are true. God, give us that 100% understanding in that truth. And Lord, let us reflect that when we pray, when we talk to others. Help us this week to do that. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. So, thank you for allowing me to preach.